We're going to do mukta, and we're going to do it quickly, because it's a short but very, very important topic. Because it's one of the most all-encompassing, all-pervasive aspects of Hilchos Shabbos. And it really affects everything you do. What does the word mukta mean? Mukta means? Not set aside. Or not designated. Mukta means undesignated. Okay, I mean, not literally. Is there a literal translation to mukta? Set aside, you think?
Put something at the case.
Put at the case.
At the end.
It's interesting. In order to use something on Shabbos, it has to be designated and have a purpose. Mm-hmm. Mukta is the opposite of something that is designated and has a purpose. Mukta means anything that's not designated and doesn't have a purpose on Shabbos cannot be moved. Okay, it's a misconception that something that's mukta can't be touched. Mm-hmm. You're allowed to touch things that are mukta. You could touch a car, you could touch a tree, you could touch you can lean on a rock. Even though those things are mukta, you're allowed to touch them, as we will see. Okay, but in order to understand the laws of mukta, in order to get a better sense of them, I scanned into you. We're going to learn together the introduction of the Mishnah Berurah, who calls the introduction of the Rambam. Says the Mishnah Berurah, and you have English also, which is useful. Before I explain this siman, I'll give you a small introduction. Okay. The rabbis wrote that tiltul muksa, metaltel, means to move, right, to carry, to it means to, tiltul means to, yeah, right, to carry.
Handle,
that's a better word. I was looking for a better word, thank you. Katava Rambam b'shel perachav dalav zelashon. The Rambam writes in this way: Asru chachamim b'taltel mitzas dvarim b'shabes kederashu osha b'chol. The rabbis prohibited a person to handle certain articles on Shabbos that one would normally handle during the week. Umivnei ma nagu b'israzeh. So just first of all, to note, mukta is all a derabana. It's not a deraisa. It's all a derabana. So why did the rabbis make this isher? Amru, they said, Umma'im hisiru nevi'im v'tzivu. If our prophets warned us and commanded us, shelo yehei hiluchcha b'shabbos ki hiluchu halacha b'chol, that you're walking on Shabbos shouldn't be like you're walking during the week, right? That's one of the reasons why you don't jog for exercise on Shabbos, because you're not supposed to walk on Shabbos the way you would on the chol. Velo sichas Shabbos k'sichas chol. What's an example of speaking on Shabbos that you're not allowed to do? That we spoke about?
Business,
work, things of that nature.
Plans,
very good. Shneamar b'daber davar, right? Your speaking should be relevant to Shabbos. Kal v'chomer, how much more so? Shelo yehi tiltul b'Shabbos k'tiltul b'chol. That you're carrying on Shabbos should not be like you're carrying on the weekday. Why? K'dei shelo yehi kiyom chol v'einav, so that the day should not become like a normal day in your eyes. Maybe you're going to say, Shabbos, I've got nothing to do. I always wanted to move the furniture around in my room. So, I'm going to move it around. Yeah. Yeah. It's all the tzarech mitzvah, because we never announce any non-mitzvah announcements, right?
I hope so.
That's my cop-out answer for the evening.
What was your cop-out answer?
It's all for a mitzvah. Remember we said how you're allowed to raise money because it's for the needs of the community?
Oh.
Why doesn't the Beit Midrash for the needs of the community? Okay. Oh, you'll say, oh, l'hashmiya avanim u'kiyosav. Maybe I want to move stones or something. I'm in the fourth line in the middle. Sharehu batel v'yoshei b'beito, because a person who doesn't appreciate Shabbos is going to sit around with nothing to do in his house. V'yivakesh davar shi'taseik bo, he's going to look for something to do. V'nimsa, it turns out, shalosh shabbat, he didn't rest in the end. U'bad latam sh'neam ha'torah l'man yenuach. The Torah says you should rest, and what did you end up doing?
Work,
whatever, even permissible work. V'od, furthermore, let's say, you start moving around your power tools. Well, I'm not cutting anything, so what's wrong with moving around my miter saw? What about, I'm going to notice that my miter saw, that the saw, the fence is not right, and what, you're going to immediately, you'll fix it. That's a malacha. Va'od, furthermore, Ibnation Mitchas Ha'am Einam Bali Umani. That's what the Rambam says. Something interesting. People don't do work. A lot of people don't do work. El Betelim Kol Yumehim. Rather, they just sit around all day. Kagon HaTayalim, those people who are Tayalim, walkers around, Spatirizers. How would you tell they Tayalim, Gene?
Strollers.
The Yoshve Kuranos, people who sit in the corners.
Gamblers.
Shekol Yumehim Himself Kimimlacha. All day, the whole week, they don't do any work. The im yihyem mutar lahalech, if they could walk, ulidaber and speak, ulitaltel kishar yamim, if they could do whatever they could do the rest of the days, nimsha shabbos shabbat shvita nikeret. Meaning, if you're allowed to play, I remember when I first got to Washington Heights, anybody ever been in Washington Heights where YU is? Anybody been there? So the thing that struck me the most, I remember, first of all, being afraid to walk in the street there. Took a little while to get over that.
Why?
No reason. The thing that I remember the most is the amount of adult males that would sit on the, literally sit on the streets and play dice. Or play, you know what I'm saying?
Coins.
Because coins are... Does that happen a lot in Peru? That people are just sitting on the corners and nothing to do. And it shocked me. Like, don't you have anything better to do? I mean, it's boring. So it says the Rambam, people like that, a lot of Jewish people like that. And if you allow them to sit around and play cards and roll dice and do whatever they want to do, then what's the difference between Shabbos and any other day? It's not Shabbos. The fikach, in the middle of the line, I don't know, halfway down. Shvita bidvarim elu hi shvita hashaveh b'chol adam. So they made a rule across the board. Umimedvarim elu nagu b'isir ha-tiltul. Because of this, they made things forbidden to handle. Vasru. And they forbade shelo yiteltel adam b'shabbat ela kelim hatsarich lahem. Person is not permitted to move things, to handle things, unless he needs them. Kamoshi be'er, as we will explain, I'd come to show now. It's just relevant to note that the Rambam Paskin, that even something that like a butter knife, so you're allowed to use a butter knife on Shabbos. The Rambam felt it was only permitted to handle anything if you were going to need it. You couldn't just pick something up and start playing with it for no reason whatsoever. You couldn't just fiddle around things. Only things that had a necessary need on Shabbos, you were allowed to handle them. But we don't have something like that around them, so don't worry. Okay. Rav Natan Tam, the Ravid, Rav Avram Ben David, the Ravid of Poshkir in France, he said, Shu Gader Lahotza'ah. No, the reason Muktzah is because we're afraid you're going to carry things outside. She'im Natir Letatel Kol Gavar, if you could carry anything, if you could handle anything, Yavoa Yedezeh, Gam Lahotzi Mirshut HaRach Yachid, the Rishut HaRabim. You're going to take something from private domain to public domain. Vida, and no. We're going to clarify the four parts, four types of muktza. Chelek echad, the first one is called muktza machmas chisaron kish. Muktza because of something that will lose value. The hainu, that is klish adam makpir alav shlo yitgom v'lo yitkalkel. Something you don't want to get broken. Chelek sheni, the second is davar she'eino kli, something is not a kli utensil. It's not a human consumption, it's not animal consumption. Avanim, v'kanim, v'maot, v'eichim, v'karot, sticks and stones, and dirt, and v'afar, v'chol, and sand, u'meit, person who died, u'ba'alechayim, and pets, u'grogro, t'simakim, munachim b'makom, shibashim, let's say you're making raisins. We'll see all of these things. Chen k'yotzi b'zeh delo chazi, things that are not usable on Shabbos. U'mikrei, Muktzah machmas gufo, and they're also called muktzah because of them, their essence, of themselves. Chelek shlishi, the third kind is kli shemalach do leiser, a kli utensil whose use is for iser. The sheet gimel, chelek rivii, what the iser for forbidden use. We'll talk what that is. Chelek rivii kli shemach do leheter umunach alav davar muktzah, something that has a permissible use, but something muktzah was on top of it. Vafilu husru b'shabbat, even if it was removed on Shabbos. Since the item was on it, during the time it got dark, this is a very important phrase, two lines from the bottom. Because it became muktzah for the initial part of Shabbos, it becomes muktzah the whole day. What do we call, what's a halakhic term for something that a muktzah thing was on top of it on the beginning of Shabbos? Anybody know what that's called? The halakhic term? Anyone? Herschel, you know? It's called a basis. A basis, we say. Which means a basis is a base. And we'll talk about that also. Okay? We'll talk about, and there are a couple of other examples as well. So let's turn to page 2 and we'll get into the brass tacks and into the actual halakha. Now this is going to be a general overview and I'll be able to answer specific questions as we go through. Some questions I'll answer and some questions I will have to take down and check them, because I'm not an expert on these things. I'm just going to give you the general guidelines. And you're going to find that a lot of things you are allowed to do, which is going to be a little bit surprising. First of all, I need my notes. Okay. First of all, moving muktzah. The first thing we learned is you're allowed to touch things that are muktzah, as long as you don't move them. People generally think you're not allowed to touch muktzah items. That's not true. You're allowed to touch them, you're just not allowed to move them. I don't know if that helps you at all. I don't know what that does for you. I don't really know.
Moving like pushing or moving like picking up and moving?
I think a frame, it's a kind of tilt that you can...
We'll talk about that. Whether that's muktzah or not.
It's moving. Okay.
We'll see.
But if you touch a carcass, you actually walk by it and switch.
Yeah, you're allowed to touch a car. You're allowed to touch a car. You're not going to move the car.
Right.
You're allowed to touch it.
From the door, just if you
accidentally...
It's interesting. In the book of Shmir Shabbos Kil Chasa, he writes that you're allowed to open the door of a car as long as a light bulb is not connected. But I think that would not apply nowadays, because he wrote that 20 years ago. Nowadays, when you open the car door, all kind of circuitry is going on. You know, there's a computer's inside, and it knows the door is open, and the alarm's going to wait 72 seconds. So I don't think you're definitely not allowed to open a car door nowadays anymore. Now, let's say the window was open, you left a car in your garage, and you left something in your car. You could lean in and go get it. The car is not itself muktzah. You're just not allowed to do anything that's going to, I don't know, do a computer or whatever. Okay? So, first thing is, where am I? Page 2. Here we are. Touching is permitted. The second type of moving is called tiltul min hatzad. That's called indirect moving. Now, it'll be worthwhile to write down if you want to take notes, because indirect moving means I'm allowed to move something by not moving the item itself. For example, let's say I have a plate of cherries, and for some reason, onto this plate of cherries fell something muktzah, my dollar bill. Okay? Now, am I allowed to move the plate of cherries or not? It fell on there on Shabbos. Okay? So now you tell me, well, you're not allowed to touch the dollar bill.
No,
right? I can touch it, but I can't move it. Tiltul min hatzad means to move this item, this plate, even though there's a dollar bill on it. So the first thing you're supposed to try to do is called niur, shaking it. So if I can, and get my dollar bill off, there we go, and then I'm all set. That I'm certainly allowed to do. But what if it was in such a way, let's see, for example, over here, the cherries are on top of the dollar bill, right? So I want to serve the cherries. I would like to give... shake it up and down. It's not possible.
Like a pizza.
Right, it's not really realistic to do without touching it.
Mm-hmm. Just take the cherries off and put them on a
different...
Well, you can do it. In theory, I could do that. What if I could? For some reason, I couldn't. You know, it became onerous. Or I had a whole bowl of, God only knows, I had a whole bowl of raisins and peanuts. Huge bowl. Mm-hmm. And in it fell a quarter. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Then I had bowler issues and muktzah issues.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So now, tiltul min hatzad means I'm allowed to move the plate with the muktzah item on it if I'm doing it for the heter item, for the permitted item.
Mm-hmm.
So, I want to serve the cherries, therefore I'm allowed to move it for the permitted item. But, let's say, I now have this on the plate, right?
And all the cherries are gone.
Oh, well, all the cherries are gone. Well, that's a bad one. Okay. All the cherries are gone. So now, let's say, you'll say, well, I want to put the dollar bill away. I don't want the dollar bill out.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not allowed to do tiltul min hatzad for the need of the dollar bill, not to put it over there. That you're not permitted to do. Okay, so tiltul min hatzad means indirect moving through an intermediary item. Okay, that would be permitted for the sake of the necessary item, for the sake of the davar hamutar. Yeah, Steve.
Okay, once all the cherries are off, can you put more cherries on it so that you can move them or not?
On top of there?
Mm-hmm. Once they're all
and then intentionally do tiltul min hatzad?
Why would you want to do that?
Yeah.
Because that's your serving plate.
I couldn't get it off, you mean? There's no way to get it off? I would say probably if you needed that serving plate, then it would be for the need of the serving plate. But I would recommend getting another serving plate. I think Eddie's recommendation is good. Okay. So that's only Lutzelech Davra Hamutar. Is that clear?
Mm-hmm.
And we're talking about really muksa items. Any type of muksa. Tiltul Kila Achar Yad, Rabbi Rivian in his book writes, is any type of moving that does not involve the hands. So for example, if I have my dollar bill on my table and I want to get rid of it, what's the easiest way of doing it? Well, maybe that's not so easy, but in theory, you can use your elbow to get it off, right? You can use your foot. Very often things are in the way, things are muksa in the way, you know, on the floor. So the easiest thing to do is kick it, right? But you wouldn't be able to sweep it. Remember, sweeping is tilted in chassad, but I'm sweeping it for its own need that you wouldn't be able to do. And you could kick it because that's considered tiltul kil achar yad, abnormal moving. Yeah.
Had situations where I needed my asthma spray, and I was in the shilik, and I forgot to take it out of my purse before Shabbos, and I needed it. So I was able. My purse is on the. Well, I had to move it because I had put my purse away, and I had to bring it out.
Why did you have to bring it out? There was no way to reach inside and get what you needed.
It was in a closet. I couldn't get my hand into it. I had to put it specifically on the side.
Okay.
So now I know not to do that in the future.
Uh-huh.
Wouldn't it also get into
I needed it.
Okay.
And so now I have to take items, and of course, where is the spray? It's over to the bottom of the bag.
Uh-huh.
So I took the items out so I could get to the spray, but then I had to leave. But then I just left the rest of the items where they were. There's no need for me to touch them.
But you moved your purse.
Right.
There was no way for you to reach inside without moving your purse.
No.
Now, it's interesting.
It was, you know, it was like in a metal, the closet has metal, shelving. And the shelving is that.
Why did you need that? What kind of spray was it?
Asthma spray. No, if you use it, that's dangerous.
So, but I would have told you the first thing to do would be to get a non-Jew to do it for you.
Uh-huh.
Because the first thing, remember, the first avenue is Amir al-Nakhri, even for Ezra Rabbanu.
It was 2 o'clock in the morning.
Okay, So then the next thing I would tell you to do is, secondly, tiltul kil achar yad. Is there a way of doing it backhanded without moving it with your hands? Right? So this is actually the one of the reasons this class is so good is because you can learn permissible ways of doing things. So is there a backhanded way where you can do it? I mean, you might look very funny, somebody, you know, looking at you.
Well, I guess I could use my life to.
That's the way to do it. Absolutely. Right. Correct. Because you're talking about your money and your wallet is real muksa.
Right.
Right? Then you have things on top of it.
Right.
Right? So, you know, each thing you have to, if you have to dig in, you're moving it to get it out of the way. Again, you want to do it in a backhanded way. You could kick it down. You could do, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
So it's not just I need it, but the question is, since I need it, what's the most permissible way to do it?
Yeah.
And once I get it, I just let there.
Yeah, that's right. Then you just leave it. Right. You want to put it, you can kick it to the side or whatever. Right, right. You don't have any young children that there'd be anything dangerous about. Right. Okay. So these are things that are totally muksa. A dollar bill. A wallet. Let's say, for example,
a cell phone.
You left your cell phone in your shirt pocket. Okay? And the shirt now is on your bed.
Pick up the shirt and
turn
it upside down.
What?
Pick up the shirt.
Oh, but your cell. But how could you pick up the shirt? Isn't the cell phone muksa?
You're not directly picking up the cell phone.
Again, though. Now, what am I picking up the shirt for? For itself?
No.
So then am I permitted to pick up the shirt to get rid of the cell phone?
No.
No. Remember what I'm saying? If you want to wear the shirt, then fine.
Yeah.
But if you don't want to wear the shirt...
Wasn't that the case of something laying on top of something?
Here. Can we give another example?
Shouldn't that make the shirt muksa because it was sitting on it?
It's like your cell phone being under the chairs.
Okay. Well, this is another example. So I have my cell phone. What is the halachic status of the cell phone? We'll have to talk about that.
I want the cell phone on the
hat.
So
if I want the hat... If I want to wear the hat, I'm in good shape, because then I could take it off and put on the hat. Right? But what if I don't want the hat? What if I just want to move the cell phone? Then you're not allowed to do it. Then the only way to accomplish this mission would be, if this is the muksa that I think it is, that we're going to talk about, to use your elbow to kick it off or to try to move it.
Okay? Why would you?
Now, if I want to use the bed, for example, okay, So one of your outs is you're lucky in the case, in the bed case, because the bed usually has bedspreads or sheets on it. So I want to use the bedspread. But then I'm allowed to take it and move it off the side and hold on to the bedspread. Do you understand what I'm saying? Even something that's really muktzeh that normally you would not allow to move. No, you're looking at me funny, Chaim. You don't
How do you
get
move
it.
The bedspread?
Pick it up.
Okay.
Right? And move the thing off. The fact that you want to use the bed isn't always a permissibility. That's not, you know, you might want to do a lot of things, but you have something that's muktzeh on there. So how do you move the muktzeh in a permissible way to allow you to then go ahead and use the bed? Do you understand what I'm saying?
No. How about that old kid?
You don't understand, or you have a problem with what I'm saying?
No.
Okay. If something is muktzeh, the fact that you want to use what might be under it doesn't make it any less muktzeh.
I thought you said okay. It did if it was sitting on top.
No. It's not. It doesn't make it any less muktzeh. Let's say, for example, I have a dollar bill. A dollar bill is muktzeh. I want to use this table. Okay? So if I can't find a way to move this dollar bill, then I'm not going to be able to use the table. The fact that I want to use the table does not make it permissible unless it falls under certain categories. I know what you're thinking of, and I'm going to get to it soon. Where is the idea that if I need to use the place... You're talking about that?
No, I'm talking about what's the difference, and I know where you're going to come from. Well, what's the difference if I move it with my hand?
On your foot?
Or if I use my elbow?
Well,
that's what I'm...
That's why we did the introduction of the Rambam.
Right.
The Rambam said, what is the purpose that the rabbis forbade moving items on Shabbos? In order to give you a Shabbos awareness. That's exactly what the Rambam says. That we don't want your behavior on Shabbos to be like your behavior the rest of the week. So that is why the Rabbanan forbade certain types of behavior, moving an item in one way, and they permitted it moving it in another way.
Is this another way of saying that you're doing it in a shiur?
Yes. Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, no,
okay, that, so then you can accept it.
I know
what you're
hearing behind it, but I still understand.
Does that help you?
I don't comprehend it.
You don't? Is that what I just told doesn't help you?
Well, meaning, I understand.
Why can't you use the broom then with something
the line,
that
they heard me?
That's moving in a different way.
What the line is, where do you need to draw the line, you mean?
Yeah.
All right,
yeah.
I mean, I can only tell you what I see.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
You have a drain board that you need to drain dishes up.
Yeah.
Okay? A strainer is on it that you cut from the kitchen.
Uh-huh.
Strainer is a
Yeah. Well, not well.
Food preparation, no?
Only if you want to use it to strain.
Can you pick it up and put it away?
Yes. Why? Tell me why.
I don't know.
Oh, well, I'll explain. Okay, let's hold on to the strainer question. We'll come back to it. Yeah.
Well, this gentleman asked me, but also I was thinking, how can you... You gave this category where there's something on top of it, and most of the things on top of it you can't be using. So how can you use the table, the bedspread, anyway?
We'll talk about that. I'll explain that as well. Very good. Good question. We'll talk about that too. Next page, please.
That's what I asked.
That's what you're going to ask?
That is what I asked.
Okay. But I just wrote the headlines. You have to write the explanations if you want to, and if you don't want to, you're not obligated to. Okay? There are a number of types of absolute muktzah. Okay. First one is muktzah machmas gufa. Something that is muktzah because of itself, like a rack. Racks that you don't designate have no use on Shabbos. A brick, right? Mm. You walk past the JCC, there are bricks lying there. What is Shabbos use do you have for bricks?
Paperweights.
What?
Paperweights.
There's boards and
mail. In theory, you could use it as a paperweight. But if you hadn't designated it as such from before Shabbos, it's just a rock, a stick, a piece of grass, sand, dirt, all of those things. So you say, what use do you have for sand on Shabbos? You could have a use. What use would you have on Shabbos for sand?
Clean dishes and
sit
around the woods.
In Detroit.
To be allowed to put out ice.
In Detroit. Ice, yeah. Put it out on ice.
Put out a fire.
Very good. Put it out on ice. Put out a fire.
Yeah, fire.
Oh, put out a fire. An interesting question. So let's say, for example, you have sand in your garage you want to put out on ice, right? Mm-hmm. Just to make it easier to walk. That sand, though, you designated for a specific purpose. Mm-hmm. It isn't just sand. It's designated sand. So that sand is not muktzah. Do you understand? You can designate anything you want and make it not muktzah. We're talking about items that are in general, items you didn't have any knowledge about beforehand. Mm-hmm. Okay?
Can you put salt on ice on Shabbos?
So it's a question of whether you're allowed to melt things intentionally on Shabbos, but probably.
Right.
Right.
Yeah,
yeah, but sand for sure
sand
you could.
Sand wouldn't melt.
Sand for sure you could.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's say so you see a rock outside, right? You happen to be walking to Yerushalayim and somebody drives by in the car.
Pick the sand in the car? Oh.
What?
The rock in the car?
The rocks are muksa. Mm-hmm. Right, so unless you were a chacham and designated your rocks and put them on the side of the road beforehand,
so that you can throw it in the car.
Right.
Right. Somebody.
Right.
Well, so, you think there's a shame mitzvah anyhow? So.
Oh, you mean that's Eric's? It's the same mitzvah, you know, right? I don't know why that would be Dokha Shabbos anyway, but okay. That's Muksa Machmas Gufo. Another example of something that would have no use on Shabbos is, for example, in your freezer. Everybody has frozen chicken in their freezer.
Yeah.
It has no use on Shabbos.
No.
None of the freezer stuff really does.
No, something
ice
do.
Cream.
Ice cream, cake, things of that nature.
But something's going to fall out right while you're going in, right?
Correct. What?
Something's going to fall out.
Right. So you could, in theory, no, chal you could take out because you have to use it. Right. But anything that, you know, for example, so let's say, for example, if somebody gets a bruise on Shabbos, let's say you bump your head.
Mm-hmm.
So instinctively, what I do is you take out, not ice, but frozen vegetables because it's much more useful. It works better. So if it's edible in and of itself, for example, you know, every now and then I like to eat frozen peas. Oh, they just taste good. They're not bad. You guys are crunchy. What? Right. So if they're edible in and of itself, then they're not muksa because you could eat them on Shabbos. But to take out a piece of, like, you know, steak. I don't know why they ever did that. I have no idea.
Black eye? Oh,
yeah.
Are you kidding?
It works?
Oh, yeah.
Really?
But actually, it's not frozen.
Oh, whatever.
Yeah.
Another example, you left a steak, an uncooked steak. So it has no use on Shabbos, really.
Oh, yeah, and you forgot to put it in.
Right. So you couldn't use it for your black eye because it was not designated as that. So, for example, very often I'll find my freezer upstairs is a mess. You know, like you just kind of ship things in until it gets out of control. I'll have to reorganize. So I'll pull everything out and then put all the boxes and all the whatever. You can't do that on Sabbath because you're pulling out frozen chicken and things that are muksa. Okay? And that you're not permitted to do.
Yeah. What if you're looking for something? Can you move it?
Tachayad. Or you want to pull something from around it, from under it.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Then you could. You could pull something from under it.
The title
it. And it would move on its own. Mm-hmm. Do you understand what I'm saying? This is called Muksa Machmas Gufo. Gufo means itself, its own body, its own entity. Yeah.
Okay, itself.
Gufo. Yeah.
It could only be something that you normally be able to touch, such as you have a frozen vegetable.
It's also, remember, only under what circumstance where you think that the swelling could be dangerous.
Right. So what about...
That's when the swelling is dangerous. Okay. Oh, yeah, because ice pack you had designated specifically to use in that circumstance. That's what you have it there for. Correct?
Well,
it's like a baggie full of ice?
And a cooler. But don't you normally assume when you take your, when you put your ice pack in there, either I'm going to use it for a bruise or I'm going to use it as a for a cooling agent. Plus, that's a permitted use on Shabbos. Mm-hmm. Let's say, for example, I don't know, your daughter came and she was nursing and she needs to take the milk or the whatever, you would put it in a little cooler and you would take it with you. Correct? So that's another thing, that another reason you would use it, so I wouldn't think that would be muksa. But frozen chicken or frozen fish or whatever, that's not edible. Even if you thawed it out, you would have no use for it on Shabbos. So that is muksa. And so it's just an interesting thing. When I noticed it, oh yeah, I never thought of that before. Yeah.
You take the vegetables, you use them on the bruises, throw them into your salad. That's
good. Good to me. My point though is you don't have to. You don't have to, Aviva, throw them. You don't have to throw them in a salad.
Oh.
Because they don't become muksa since they're usable on Shabbos. Okay, that's
well,
muksa.
You use them and put them back in the freezer.
Yeah.
The child has a bee bite. You put the bag of peas on there, and then when it starts to melt or get mushy,
put
it back in.
Yes. You understand? You do or you don't?
Well, yeah.
The reason it's not muksa because it has a legitimate use on Shabbos.
That you're not changing the.
Yeah, the food's changing.
If it's defrosted, that you're not then refreezing it.
What's the issue of defrosting peas?
It's not defrosted.
I'm not cooking.
I'm
not changing the form of a bag of peas.
No, let's say you have it out long enough that it becomes really mushy and you put it back in.
Am I squishing it? I'm not allowed to squish it together because I'm not kneading it, right? I'm not mushing, making this one big mass. It's still peas on the inside, right?
Right.
So you, what? Well, whatever. The child is not going to keep it on that thing for that long anyway.
I don't know,
what would be the problem? There's no issue of defrosting peas. You're not really changing the status or anything. You're not changing the shape of the bag. So I don't see any problem with
that. What about if you have frozen ice cream that you take out and leave out by mistake for 25 minutes and it starts to...
I love ice cream that way.
Okay.
Can you put it back into the freezer?
Probably since unless it turns literally into
milk.
Into milk, then I think you could, because if you're just refreezing, it's already still frozen ice cream. It still has the status of ice cream. Okay? But that's not milk, though. Next.
I knew it wasn't.
Another example. Let's say Eddie had a power drill, right? And his power drill broke. So what good is this power drill for? What's it useful for?
On Shabbos?
What? So we'll talk about that. But since it's not usable, it has no real use, so then in your own mind, what are you saving? You're saving it for parts. You're saving it for whatever.
The cord.
Right, for whatever. Mm-hmm. That's muktzah. Totally muktzah, and you're not allowed to move it on Shabbos. Next. Okay. Next one. Muktzah machmas chisaron kis. Chisaron kis means muktzah machmas because of monetary value, monetary loss. Chisaron kis means monetary loss. Okay, there are two categories of muktzah machmas chisaron kis. The first one is an item that's so fragile that you don't normally handle it on Shabbos. You wouldn't handle it. Somebody give me an example.
Crystal?
No, you would handle that on Shabbos. Something so fragile that you wouldn't handle it on Shabbos.
A diamond?
No.
Let's say, for example, if you have, I don't know, some kind of display, God only knows, heirloom, right? So you keep it in your brake front, and you never take it out. Okay? So again, you didn't have das to handle it beforehand, so that becomes muktzah on Shabbos. Okay? If you have, you know, cherished family portrait, that's very valuable to you. Okay? So you wouldn't handle it. So if you wouldn't handle it, then you shouldn't handle it. And you're not allowed to. Things of great value that you don't handle because of their value. For example, another example would be... Excellent example. People have sports memorabilia. Right? So what's the matter with handling my Joe DiMaggio baseball? Well, the answer is you don't handle the Joe DiMaggio baseball. So therefore, in your own mind, it was something you weren't going to touch before our Shabbos, so something you wouldn't touch now. Now, if you did, if you like to throw it around or whatever, that's not a problem. But if it's something you set aside, if you like to take it out and show it off, then you can. Again, it's something that you wouldn't show. That's the first category of chisaron kis. But believe me, people that have sports memorabilia like that, they don't touch it. Because any nicks and cracks or whatever, it's not valuable anymore. It's investments. It's crazy. I mean, people spend... When I was in Boston at the Soloveitchik Institute, so one of the big patrons of the Soloveitchik Institute was a relatively very, very, very wealthy man who was very nice to open up his house to us. In the basement of his home, he has a room probably double the size of this room, filled floor to ceiling with sports memorabilia. I mean, it's unbelievable. I've never seen a room like this before. Very nice guy. Just every man, you name a baseball player, and he has his hat and a jersey. He has pieces of the Boston Garden and footballs, and it's on the walls. You know, the expensive things are behind glass. You know, Larry Bird's jersey, he isn't putting on Larry Bird's jersey from whenever it was.
Yeah.
Okay, so that kind of thing you would not be able to handle on Shabbos. The other thing is items that are not used on Shabbos that you put away in order to safeguard. You have an expensive piece of equipment you put away in order to safeguard? Yeah, you got two.
Yeah, the kids would play with a computer toy that says...
Let's say, for example, my Palm Pilot.
Yeah.
Right?
Good point.
So a Palm Pilot is something that I don't use on Shabbos. It's used for a muktzah purpose, but I don't leave it lying around.
Uh-huh.
Okay? It's an expensive thing. The reason I was talking about the cell phone before is my cell phone is like that. I don't let my kids touch my cell phone because they drop it, that'll be on the cell phone, and you're out. It's $300. Yeah. Like cameras, things of that nature. Right, those are things that you put away. Things that you are careful to put away, that you don't leave around, those are things that are called muktzah machmas chisaron kis, and they become totally muktzah on Shabbos. The example they give is, let's say you're a moel, right? So it's a knife. What if I want to cut, my chicken with my Mila knife?
Yeah, but a moel...
I'm not going to that.
Oh,
an exacto knife.
No, if he has a biz, he'll know before.
Right?
If he has a wrist, then he designates it for use on Shabbos. But aside from that, he puts it away and doesn't want anybody touching that knife.
Well, yes.
Who would want it?
Well, I'm just giving a funny example, okay?
Is the moil half sick and a shaken moil half step in on Shabbos?
Oh, interesting question. Maybe a moil has dash, and in case a mila needs to be done, he'll use it for specifically that purpose, I guess. I don't really know. Good question. Maybe that's what he has in mind. So those are things called Muslim Achmi Chisar and Kis. Next thing is, yeah.
That would be like the ice pack. That you bought it for two reasons. You bought the oil knife for doing a bridge, and if it has to be on Shabbos, then you've already said it has to be.
I guess so. I assume that that's what they would do. Okay, next thing. So we did Musa Machmas Chisar and Kish and Musa Machmas Gufo. Next one is called Musa Machmas Isher, on the right under, right down there. Musa because of Isher means because of a prohibition. Somebody give me something, an example of something that's prohibited because it's asa.
Money.
No, that's mukta because it's a gufo. Money is gufo.
How about combing your beard?
You know, that's another problem.
This is forbidden. I mean,
the cell phone itself is not prohibited. There's no prohibition against me holding cell phone on a regular day. What? No, not a strainer. But the isser of straining. It's only a Shabbos isser. It's only asa on Shabbos. We'll talk about that.
Why would you be
touching it anyway?
So let's say for example, somebody brought me a McDonald's cheeseburger. It's forbidden for me to eat. It's usher.
Especially on Shabbos.
No, not especially on Shabbos. But because it's forbidden for me to eat, it's muktzah. Right, let's say, for example, you take your jacket to Rabbi Apt, right? And he brings it back to you and he says, full of chutneys, I can't do anything with it. So then that jacket, because it's usher, it's forbidden to wear and forbidden to use, that becomes muktzah as well. You can't handle the jacket either. Okay? That's another type of muktzah.
Did you call it this one?
What?
This one.
Did I? Oh, no, we didn't do that one yet. Okay. Muktzah machmas nius. Muktzah machmas nius are, nius means things that are disgusting.
What?
That are disgusting. Okay?
So,
the example they give is, this is really gross, but, for example, we used to have mice in my house, here also, but in Connecticut, we also had mice. What? Little mice. Oh, they're very cute. As soon as they start eating food. We're pretty much experts at getting rid of them now. But once in Connecticut, they gave us something called a glue trap. You ever heard of a glue trap?
Yeah, that's horrible. Coming in, they cannot.
And you listen to them.
They get glued.
They stick. Right? Then they can't walk, and then they die. They try to fight their way out. Okay? So let's say you stick a glue trap under your sink, right? And you catch a monster. And you wake up Shabbos morning, and there's a dead mouse under your sink. Okay? What are your options? Normally, you would chuck it. But the other thing you can do is close the sink. You know, close the cabinet. Don't look at it. So that's muktza machmas nius. It's disgusting, and you have no legitimate reason to get rid of it on Shabbos. Now, if the mouse dies in the middle of your kitchen, then there's a din called the graf shel rei. Graf shel rei means, what's a graf? How would you translate graf? A bundle of rei means of feces. So for example, When you change your child's diaper, that's gross. Okay, that's called muktzah machmas mius. Okay, but you don't have to leave it there on the changing table because it's in the way. So the Rabbanan said something called a graf shel rei. You're allowed to move it out of the way. Another example of muktzah machmas mius is your garbage.
What about garbage?
Yeah, so you're allowed to take out the garbage because you need this because it's in the way on Shabbos. You could take it out. Once you take it out, you're not allowed to go rummaging through the garbage or for whatever reason you need to rummage through the garbage.
But you can't take it out.
You can take it out.
No. You cannot.
Why not? Put it outside the house.
Your property.
Somebody told us once you can't put it out the door.
We have an A-roof. You have a back. Yeah. It's in my backyard. You have an A-roof. There's an A-roof in the park.
It's not going on walk until you found this dispenser, speak dispenser.
How does it work there? Do you have, what is, how does it work?
Yeah, there's
a big dumpster?
Yeah.
So then you could. If you have garbage Friday night and it fills up and you threw out your chicken and whatever, you leave that there on Shabbos, it's going to stink.
Yeah, sure.
Right? So that's, you don't have it, you're not obligated to leave your garbage in your house on Shabbos. You're allowed to remove it because of this din of a grach shel rei, of this, you know, diapers are a classic example. You don't have to leave them around. You put them away.
Wouldn't a dead mouse be garbage?
What?
Wouldn't a dead mouse be considered like...
If it starts to smell, but if you can cover it up or close it or whatever, then you shouldn't move it. It's only if you need to because of the area and because it will be... Just the idea of gross
food. Yes.
Okay.
And you're saying that...
Don't think about it. What?
I'm dreaming about it.
Huh?
What is
diaper genius? Oh, smell is an interesting thing.
What about
I recommend diaper genius.
What about if you find this dead skunk? And then, how would you get rid of the smell?
Cold.
Cola to get rid of
it. It keeps spraying.
Cola.
Okay.
There's a whole thing. Tomato juice.
No, there's a whole thing. Cola.
Okay.
Yes.
But then looks enough. So we did look at cola.
Let's say you were emptying
one of them was getting
laid into the trash. It smelled and it was gross, but your ring, diamond ring, was
not. Another example of Moshe Nachman's years or Moshe Nachman's asthma would be these pits. What use do I have for these pits on Shabbos? None. No use whatsoever. So the only permissibility, I'm permitted to move them out of the way to throw it away. But if I, let's say, for example, put them on the side, out of my way, then they're Moshe on Shabbos. You're not allowed to, and you're not allowed to handle them after that. If they're out of the way already.
You can throw them away.
You're allowed
to get
your
ring was accidentally on there and you wanted to get your ring, you have to wait till after Shabbos is over?
If my ring was on there, I would take my ring off.
Some people accidentally
throw it.
Mm-hmm. Or a piece of silverware.
You're talking about going to the garbage.
Oh, going to the garbage.
You have to wait till after Shabbos.
Probably better, too, than to move all that mixed stuff around. Yeah, with your hands. Yeah, you probably would have to wait. Okay. No light. Yeah.
Just put the cork in the middle. It's very bad. I was having me last week, and we had a fire in the house.
Mm-hmm.
What about, what if that happened on Shabbos? I mean, obviously, you and I...
Get out of the house.
Are we allowed to have a fireman, in your town? If I'm making anything
I would go to my neighbor and say, my non-Jewish neighbor and say, my house is on fire, and I can't call them because my house is on fire.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I would say.
Two problems with that, though. What happens if the neighbors are not...
Remember we talked about Amir of the Akum, right?
Yeah.
I don't even know if you said... I would just say, my house is on fire, and I had to run out.
And
so they would instinctively call 911.
Right, and I
did not violate anything. Now, interestingly enough,
our block is all Jews.
It's all Jews. You're in big trouble. In a case of a city like that, you can't just let your house burn down because it would spread.
Because what?
It's dangerous.
Our houses are close enough that maybe something flying over the room.
Right. That's a challenge, man.
What's that mean?
That's a challenge.
So you're on your...
No, but this is not Moshe. You're talking about violating the call. It's a problem. Because nobody's in danger. What excuse do you have to save your house?
No.
No, he's saying in the middle of the woods. Let's say you're...
A cabin in the middle of the woods, you were?
In the city?
Yeah, I think so. Make the phone call.
Yeah, because it's an emergency.
Because, what's the definition of emergency? Remember, Shabbos is only pushed off if, in the case of someone's life being in danger. Right? So if you're in the middle of, I don't know, your cabin is in the middle of nowhere, right? You're out, Amir's out, the baby's out, nobody's in danger. You're just kind of sitting there.
Right? So
the only excuse you have is to save your money.
Yeah.
Your money's not more important than Shabbos.
It's not more than life, no.
Right?
Yeah, but money.
Now, if there were Torahs in there, it's a different story.
Take out the Torahs. And I don't think so.
And valuable.
Why would it be different?
No, there's nothing.
I don't know. If the shul's on fire, you
get out.
But you can't call the fire department yourself.
You mean the shul in the middle of the wilderness?
No.
Here again.
Do a summer home.
Again, I don't. The mikvah's next door. There are apartments next door. It would constitute grave danger to allow a building to burn.
So you're allowed to call.
I would probably make that phone call.
In fact, there's a specific 22 letters that you're allowed to take out of the Torah when it's burning in Shabbos.
You're allowed to take out a Torah, or you're allowed to put out the fire. Take out the Torah. Sure, take out the Torah. Uh-huh. Right. But are you allowed to violate Shabbos in order to save a Torah? That I'm not aware of. I'm not really sure. Okay, then you got to finish this. Nola. Nola are things that are created on Shabbos. The example that would be an egg, an egg, if an egg is laid on Shabbos, it's moksha until after Shabbos. Some people say, and I'm going to be somewhat controversial, some people say that the newspaper was moksha on Shabbos because it was printed on Shabbos. It did not exist beforehand. But you can ask your local Orthodox rabbi about that one. Okay. Moksha machmas mitzvah on the bottom left-hand corner. Sometimes something is designated for the purpose of a mitzvah, and therefore it's not allowed to use it for anything else during that period of time. Anybody know what I'm talking about?
Shofar.
Shofar is a good example. Or the schach on Sukkot. Schach is the stuff on your truth.
Oh, okay.
Muksa machma mitzvah is designated specifically for a mitzvah, and therefore you're not allowed to handle it. Right? Remember we say you never heard this, like if you hang up fruit as a decoration, so you're not allowed to cut the fruit down and eat it, because it becomes muksa, you had to designate it for the mitzvah, therefore you're not allowed to handle it on Shabbos or Yom Kippur as well. All right, those are all smaller categories. The most important one that comes up so much is something called the Kalisha Malachta L'Issa. So until now, everything we've learned, the regular rules of muksa apply. You're not allowed to handle it in a direct way, basically under any circumstances. All of those things you're not allowed to handle. The dollar bill, the money, the rocks, the sticks, the stones, the raw meat, the expensive camera, all of these things you're not allowed to handle on Shabbos in a direct way. You remember you're allowed to do it in an indirect way with your elbow, and you're allowed to do tiltum min hatzad for the purposes of the permitted, but all these, you're not allowed to do anything else.
You said you're allowed to touch them.
You're allowed to touch it, correct. You're not allowed to move it. Okay. But when we come to this one, the second one on the left-hand column called Kalisha Malachta L'Isser, a Kalisha Malachta L'Isser is an item whose normal use is for forbidden purpose. An item whose normal use is for something that's forbidden on Shabbos, like my pen. Okay? So, for example, my pen is called the Kalisha Malachta L'Isser. The halacha is, you're allowed to move regularly a Kalisha Malachta L'Isser for one of two reasons. Either L'Tzorech Gufo, for its own use, or L'Tzorech Mekombo, or for the I need the place. So, and it's important to understand, only Kalisha Malachta, this pen, is a Kalisha Malachta L'Isser. I'm not allowed to write with it on Shabbos. What could I do with it on Shabbos?
Hold open a window?
Not what? Hold open a window. Excellent. Or let's say I want to. Can I use your book for a second, Eddie?
I'm still connecting. I have a thing in it.
Right? I very often do this. I'm in the middle of reading, and I need to stay in place.
I do that.
Right? So I have this pen here. So normally, I'm not, for no reason, I can't move the pen. But what I would be able to do is take my pen and use it the Tzorech Gufo. This is considered the Tzorech Gufo for its own use. I can use it as a bookmark. And then the pen is not muksa at all because I'm using it as a bookmark. I couldn't move it just for no reason, but I'm allowed to do it for Tzorech Gufo or Tzorech Mekomo. Another reason, Tzorech Mekomo for space. So I have this pen, it's a piece of left of it, and I want to use the table. So if it wasn't a pen, if it was a dollar bill, I'd have to, use my elbow. But if it's a pen, if it's a Kalisha Malachta L'Isser, then I'm allowed to pick it up, and once I pick it up, I can put it anywhere. I can go put it away.
Why?
Because I'm allowed to move it permissibly.
That still doesn't make sense at all.
What's the difference between a pen and a dollar?
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah. This is Muksa Machmas Atmo, and this is a Kalisha Malachta L'Isser. This has a permissible use, and this has no permissible use on Shabbos.
But this stuff.
What?
You use it as a bookmark.
But it's something that has in and of itself. Even though you could, the rabbi said that you wouldn't, and has no. It intrinsically is muksa because of machmas gufo, as it's designated, and therefore you're not permitted to.
But what's the permissible use
this one?
No, I mean, if you're not using it as a bookmark and you just want the space, what's the permissible use of the pen?
Oh, no, it's either l'tzorech gufo for itself,
yeah,
or l'tzorech mekomo.
Oh, okay.
Either one is permissible.
Hammer,
right?
The question
really is my cell phone a klisha malach bil l'isser? Or is it Muksa Machmas Chisharon Kif?
How do we know?
Is what do you feel?
How much did you pay for your cell phone? How careful are you with it?
Hundreds of dollars.
Very careful.
Yeah, right. You put it away. You don't just leave it around.
Yeah.
You know, a hammer, you're not so careful with it. A pen, you're not careful with it.
Okay.
Yeah, TV changer, leave it all over the place. Right? Mm-hmm. So that would be Kalisha Malachta L'Isser. The Tzorech Mekomo. Not just because you want to put it away. Only if you need the space. Only if you need that place or you need the item itself. So, Gene, hold on. Gene asked me the strainer question. Let's go back to Gene's strainer question. What? Well, if it's sitting on the chair, you want to sit on the chair, move it. Good than day.
Even
Gene asked the strainer question. The strainer is a klisha malachta le'isr because it's used for straining. Now, you asked an example where, what was your example? It's in a drain board, right? And you want to use a drain board. That's the perfect example of a klisha malachta le'isr. It's a makomo. Go ahead and put it away.
Where you put dishes in.
Okay.
Plastic in, there's a tray.
Okay, so, but you have to know what it is you're dealing with. A hammer, a screwdriver. Many things in the house are klisha malachta le'isr. The telephone is a klisha malachta le'isr.
Hmm?
Right?
A hammer for a nut cracker.
Yes, exactly. You can use a hammer to crack nuts because that's a klisha malachta le'isr, letzara gufo.
Uh-huh.
Right? You're allowed to use things.
You could use it to crack a nut.
Yes, absolutely.
Your phone.
Okay. Now, the cell phone you wouldn't use to crack a nut. That would not be a good idea. Right? Because then you'd need a new cell phone. So that would not be a good idea. Okay, I think we're out of time. We're back to basis. Basis is a little bit complicated. I'll just finish it up. A basis means something that is a base for something that's muksa. I'll say it briefly now. In order to make it a base for something that's muksa, it has to fulfill three conditions. One, it has to be placed there before Shabbos. It has to be placed there by you before Shabbos. And it has to be placed there intentionally to stay there the whole Shabbos. This is to stay there the whole Ben HaShemashah, the whole initial period of Shabbos. So, for example, I take my leichters and I place them on the Shabbos table. That Shabbos table becomes a base for my leichters, and just like I can't move the leichters, I can't move the Shabbos table. Okay? Mm-hmm. There is an out. There's a way out of this. What's the out?
You put something that you may use.
Like the salt shaker. The salt shaker is tricky.
The salt
shaker? Yeah. Because normally people say it has to be at least as significant as the muksa item itself. So people say you have to put a challah there.
Uh-huh.
Or something a little more significant than the salt shaker. Because then it becomes a base, a basis for davar ha'asr, ul'davar ha'mutar. Okay,
and then you're
you can move the table even with the lighters on them. Remember, why am I allowed to move the table with lighters on them? Because if I want to move the table from here to there, that's tiltel. That's tiltel. Which one is it? That would be tiltel min hachad, the tzarech the table for the need of the table. Remember, just like I wanted to move the plate to serve the cherries with the dollar bill on it, so too I'm allowed to move the table with the lighters on it if I really want the table from here over there.
Put a local challah on it for the purpose of moving.
Yes. No. It has to be there before Shabbos.
Yeah, but you could. But I was.
It must be there from before Shabbos, and if it's not there before Shabbos, then even if you put it on later, that wouldn't help you, because the thing became a basis on Shabbos itself.
You put the challah or whatever there before Shabbos.
Yes.
You can move the tray with your candlestick
if,
off.
No. If the
table is what I'm asking.
Oh, that's true.
That was what I learned. You want to after the light
on the tray. You can put fruit on the tray and you have
that's
to
not that valuable.
Go out. You can use your fruit and you're moving the tray.
You're moving the fruit.
Why are you moving the tray?
Because you don't want it's taking up too much room in your table.
So then again, if you're moving it for the tray, you know what I'm saying? The example we learned is Tiltel Achayad is only mutter. To move those leichters is only mutter if you're doing it because you want the tray, not that you don't want it here, you want it over there. I want to use the tray to serve the fruit. But I'm doing it just to get rid of the tray, just to get rid of the leichters. That wouldn't
well, because you want to change your tablecloth, or you want
No, that's right. Not the tzarech atzmo. It's only okay. If you need it, the tzarech the tray itself.
Spot to put somebody down to eat where the tray.
No, that's the tzarech. Remember, that's the tzarech gufo was not permitted on something that was really muksa. The lachters were really muksa. It's not just a klis from lachter this, or they became a bus.
But I thought having put the challah, the salt shaker, whatever,
allows you
because you put something on.
Only if you need to use the tray in another way.
Okay.
Only if it's for the tray.
You have to knock off the lachter from the tray. Mm-hmm. You have to shake them off.
In a way, correct, and then you can use the tray.
Yeah.
But what would that do for you?
Nothing.
You know what the best solution is? What we do?
Do it somewhere else.
Right. We put the candle on the sideboard.
Yeah.
Right. That's the best idea.
Right.
Because then you can do whatever you want.
Right.
No problem whatsoever. Although when I grew up, my mother always had it in the middle of the table. Okay, that's our discussion of Muksa. We have 4 more weeks. So we're going to finish out 4 more weeks of Shabbos. If you have a topic specifically you want me to cover, please let me know. We will meet next week. Memorial Day. It is a holiday, but somebody said to me, well, it's a holiday. I said, so we should learn in memory of all those who gave their lives for freedom, because I think that would be a good one.
You were going to talk about Shabbos cooking.
Lighting candles.